American Airlines tries to mend fences with its pilots.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. American Airlines says things are getting back to normal after a month in which its on-time performance dropped to 59%. That's more than 20% below its rivals. The airline has blamed its pilots, who are unhappy with new pay and work rules, for purposefully forcing delays and cancellations in protest. But now the company's CEO says the carrier can work through the dispute. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
Now that the pilots' union and American are talking again, there's some hope of a deal. But there are two big wild cards that make these labor troubles different from others. First, American is in bankruptcy protection. If there's no agreement, both sides take their chances in court.
A judge can intervene and literally terminate the collective bargaining agreement. At that point, it could be a very chaotic situation.
That's University of Illinois Labor Relations Professor Michael Leroy. He adds the other wild card is you, or someone you know who had a lousy flight experience and shared it with the world via Twitter or Facebook. Longtime aviation consultant Michael Boyd explains.
When you're in a situation with social media, you got to be better than you were 10 years ago, because when seats start to come loose and you have labor problems, it just intensifies the public perception.
Nobody wants angry flyers, and the pressure the public can now exert online could motivate both sides to strike a deal. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Well, for more on this story, let's bring in Sheila Heen. She lectures on negotiating at Harvard Law School, and she advises companies on conflict resolution. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so if indeed the pilots are purposefully causing delays and cancellations of flights, is that an effective negotiating tactic?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that the pilots are actually doing a reasonably good job of bringing other players into the negotiation by saying, look, other people here are on our side, and those other people also have decision-making power because they can choose to fly with someone else.
But don't they risk then getting a backlash from passengers who are going to be angry at the pilots rather than American Airlines in a situation like this?
Absolutely. So this strategy is really high risk, really for both sides. It feels like bullying to the other side. And so it caused the other side often to dig in their heels and become more entrenched because now it's gone public and they have to publicly give in. But the other reason it's high risk is that the public may end up siding with the other side, right? You may get that backlash. You can see that in the refs situation as well, the NFL refs.
Well, as we've gone through this year of a lot of high-profile labor disputes, the NFL refs, the American Airlines dispute right now, and the strike in South Africa with the miners, is there any lesson for someone like you who watches this kind of stuff and negotiating tactics? Is there anything that's happened this year that's going to go into your lectures at Harvard on how to negotiate?
Well, certainly looking at when you're backing the other side into a corner, is there a way to give them a face-saving way out? What they're doing in the negotiation, you know, language, lingo, is each side is testing the other's BATNA. BATNA stands for best alternative to a negotiated agreement. In other words, if you don't agree with us, what happens? I think all three of these situations are big gambles with real costs. So were there other ways that they could have settled things? I don't know if that the answer is yes or no, but it provides a lot of grist for us to talk about.
Sheila Heen, author of Difficult Conversations, How to Discuss What Matters Most. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, down 0.5% right now in London, 0.3% lower in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 110 points to close at 13,473.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
A new primetime drama premieres tonight on ABC. It's about a legendary singer in the country music capital of America adjusting to some competition from a new teenage sensation. It is not called The Taylor Swift Story. It's called simply Nashville. And as Blake Farmer reports from WPLN, the city is loving the attention.
I can hear 'em playing If it weren't enough that the show is spending $4 million per episode to shoot on location, the opening footage rolls like a set of skyline glamour shots to a soundtrack. Butch Spiridon heads the Nashville Convention and Visitors Bureau.
There are billboards and posters and signs all over L.A. and New York that just say Nashville. I mean, I couldn't buy it.
The state of Tennessee did pony up $7.5 million in incentives, with more expected to come from city coffers if the show makes it. The primetime soap opera didn't just fall in Nashville's lap. It's the brainchild of a local executive.
It's more about the city than really any other show I can think of.
Steve Buchanan is an executive with a company that owns country music attractions in Nashville, like the Grand Ole Opry. He's also an executive producer on the show, and not by coincidence, his company's properties are prominently featured. Buchanan says he does want to drive tourists to town, though he says artistic quality comes first.
It's critical for the show to succeed, for us to be able to ultimately enjoy the other benefits.
But locations with FaceTime in the show are already prepping for a bump.
Oh, my gosh. Last time I saw you, you were a teeny, teeny, tiny thing.
Oh. He's living here now, working at the Bluebird.
Oh, the Bluebird. That's the mecca.
The Bluebird Cafe is also a hole in the wall with beer-stained carpets. But it's still a place where songwriters are discovered, Taylor Swift to name one. Erica Wallum Nichols manages the Bluebird and plays herself on screen.
The risk and the balance that I'm working on is how to be able to, you know, get new carpet and to have some financial help through this notoriety and still be the place that people want to play.
More gawkers in the crowd, she says, could mean fewer record executives dropping in to discover the next hit. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.